Hey, what's happening? It's Bill Smith. Today we're going to talk about the new presidential portrait for Barack Obama, which was just unveiled yesterday. Now, we're going to start here. Eagle One Protector at Joe Cook, West Virginia, says he sticks out like a sore Kenyan. Now, this is what presidential portraits look like, and find the one that doesn't match. Okay, one of these doesn't belong here. And you're right, it's that one right there. So that's the portrait right there. I think it looks weird. There's a lot of symbolism going on in it that we're going to talk about right now. It was mentioned in the Q posts. So talks about flowers and gardens. And then learn the symbolism, which we will check into right now. What's a flower represent? What does deflower represent? Gives us a link to go look at. In the next Q post, he says, is it a coincidence the Matrix movie grew people as a crop, used for energy, and controlled their mind? Sounds familiar? Wonder where they derived that idea from. So we're going to move along quickly here. This is the guy that actually painted it, but he didn't. Okay, this guy is a racist. His name is Key Hind Wiley. And he says, art is all about power. His quote from the CNN article back in 2015 says, what I choose to do is to take people who happen to look like me, black and brown people from all over the world increasingly, and to allow them to occupy that field of power. I understand blackness from the inside out. Now, this guy's a racist. He just is. Okay, and we're gonna take a look at this in depth. So you've probably already seen this. If you haven't, this guy has painted a bunch of black women holding the severed heads of white women. There's one right there. Okay. There's another one right there. It's a thing he does. It's sick. I don't think this is art. And the other thing I noticed by looking at his original photos, was that it looked very Asian. It looked really Asian. And then I saw this article on The Pundit today. A racist comment. Obama's portrait artist, who hires cheap Chinese labor to paint his work, says kill whitey is a major theme. We already covered the black women murdering white women, decapitated heads. That's him right there. He's a fraud. Okay, he doesn't even paint this stuff. He's literally like a t-shirt artist who says, this is what I want you to paint, and then people paint it. Here's his quote. It's sort of a play on the kill whitey thing. Fine, whatever, man. You know, that's pretty damn racist. But a lot of people have said that this guy's got no talent. And he's a con man. And it's true. Doesn't actually paint his work. He pays Chinese women to paint it. Now, when I looked at this painting, that's the first thing that caught my eye was that it has an oriental aspect to it. It has an oriental feel. It looks like someone from the Orient has painted this. Now, the thing that this guy picked out real quick that I didn't see was the patterning. See these patterns? These are all exactly the same, and it's because they're making this stuff in mass. And the reason why they do this is because it's too difficult and time-consuming to come up with new organic artwork in China. These people are paid basically slave labor to sit in there and mass produce stuff. They do this with a lot of stuff. Salvador Dali paintings, a lot of hand-painted knockoffs of famous paintings that people would want to hang up, but they can't afford the real thing. This is a good place to get it. So there's some other interesting stuff to see in this painting. Now, he's sitting in a flower garden, okay? And it's a slave garden. That's what Q's pointing to. It's a slave garden. And we'll talk about that again here in a second. There's some writing here on this part that I can't make out. There's a Twitter post, a tweet, calling that out. But the most interesting thing about this painting is that right there. That is a hidden thumb. Now, this is his left arm. And the thumb is on the outside of the hand, not on the inside. So what's that symbolize? Well, if you care to see it a little bit more detailed. That's two right hands. That's a right hand with a thumb on the left arm. Now, if you're like me, you've never heard of anybody having two right hands. Why would an artist paint an ex-sitting president with two right hands? It's right there. It's so easy to see. There's a thumb, okay? That's a right hand on the left arm. So what is the symbolism of that? The Wahhabi God who has two right hands. Allah the man God, part 4, Allah's two right hands. It comes from the Hadith. It doesn't come from the Quran. Now, the Hadith and the Quran are two different books. The Quran is like the holy book, similar to the Old Testament, the Torah for the Jews, whereas the Hadith is a bunch of Islamic laws. This is the difference right here. The Hadith is the most important source of religious laws of Islam. Now, if that strikes a familiar chord in those who know their religious backgrounds, okay, it's very similar to the difference between the Babylonian Talmud and the Torah in Judaism. Now, nobody knows about this stuff. I don't know why people don't know about this stuff, but they know, okay, everybody Jewish understands this because Jews do not study the Torah, they study the Talmud. And the Talmud is not the word of God, it's the word of a Jewish rabbi. And it's a gigantic volume set which could cover an entire bookshelf. I can hold the Torah in my hand. I can't hold the Talmud. And this is what they study. So in that way, Judaism is kind of overlapping with the Muslim background, Islam, in that same way. There's a holy book and then there's the book of laws. And that's where this comes from. Now, in the Hadith, there's this passage talking about both his hands are right-handed. And I don't want to get into the weirdness of this, but it kind of contradicts some other passages where it talks about him using his left hand. The only way he could do that is he's a god, whatever, I don't care. But this is the symbolism of why that's important. Both his hands are right-handed. You got it? So why is this important? That's because also in there is slaves your right hands possess. And I'm not going to go back into this in detail, but everybody who has looked into the Quran a little bit has probably come across this at one time or another. It has to do with slavery and the possessing of slaves. Now, this is the link that Q has pointed to. And it talks about slave gardens, okay? And I'm going to read this down here because this is very interesting, and it will screw with your mind on how you think slavery happened in the United States. So Henry Clay Bruce wrote this book, and he explained how slave gardens worked on his master's Virginia plantation. This is his quote, all right? Each man was allowed 1 acre of ground to raise his own little crop, which, if well cultivated, would produce 900 pounds of tobacco. We used his horse and plow, the slave owners. They used the slave owners' infrastructure and worked the slaves' crops as well as we did the slave owners' crops in the daytime. And when ready for market, the slave owners sold our crop with his, giving each his share. This was our money to be spent for whatever we wanted aside from that given by him. Now, I've read a lot about the way the actual slavery worked in the United States. There was laws protecting slaves. You could not mistreat slaves. And the people who did mistreat slaves were ostracized, and they faced backlash from the rest of the communities around them. People didn't like this stuff. Now, this is totally off topic, but it's worth mentioning that this is where most of our understanding of actual slavery in the United States comes from. It's a TV show called Roots. It was produced back in 1976. It came at a very interesting time. This is about 12 years after the Civil Rights Movement. And this is what everybody bases their total misunderstanding of American slavery on. I'm not going to go into detail about this. I just thought it was worth mentioning. In that same article that Q pointed to, though, it does mention that these slave gardens in the United States weren't very extensive. I mean, they got a full acre, and they made, looks like, a pretty good amount of cash from each crop that they were able to share and get back for themselves. But these weren't as extensive as they were in other places because slaveholders in the United States mostly provided basic but meager provisions enough to maintain themselves. In these other places, it was really, really important for them to have these slave gardens because that's where they got, like, just some nutrients that they would need just to have a normal lifestyle. Now, again, back to the portrait. Okay, he's not sitting in a slave garden of tobacco, right? And I don't want to discount the whole purpose of it. I mean, he is in a flower garden. It could just be an artistic expression. It could just be a nicer way to present the background. I mean, it kind of looks nice once you get past the symbolism. But Q calls out flowering and deflowering. Now, a flower, okay, is the reproductive structure found in flowering plants. But it's not the male part. It's the female part, okay? Now, there's a famous artist named Georgia O'Keeffe, and she recognized this, and she made it her livelihood to paint flowers in the most, female part kind of way. She was really big on this symbolism. So that's what the flower stands for. Now, deflowering, okay, we all know this, but it's the act of taking the virginity of a girl. Now, I don't really think that the symbolism has to do with male and female. I really think that this is a take on somebody on jihad who was able to take over the presidency and really rip apart a country over the course of 8 years. Deflowered a country, so to speak. So, I'm Bill Smith. Thanks for watching. Please like and subscribe. Please share if you found this to be educational at all. I also wanted to mention something that's kind of happening in my personal life. It's not really that important, but since I started making these videos about a month ago, I've had to rebuild my computer 3 times. Really odd things are happening on my computer. I feel like I'm being watched a lot. I'm not worried at all for my own personal safety. You know, I'm just making stupid YouTube videos here, but if I am down for a few days, please don't worry don't worry about me is what I'm trying to say. I'm not your problem, okay? You don't need to worry about me, but push this stuff out, okay? Rush Limbaugh just mentioned QAnon during like a 1-minute segment on his radio show, and I'm not really a big fan of Rush, but that means this stuff is about to go mainstream. So you're on the cusp of something great. I've said it before. You knew about this stuff before anybody else did, and it's important that you stay centered and you make this work for yourself. So say your prayers, thank God for your existence, and stay sharp, Patriots. Till next time, this is Bill Smith. Thanks for watching.